Blog Talk Radio.
We have been trained to hate ourselves and love white people.
We still are exploited as a people. We're constantly fighting for resources.
We've never been citizens, except on paper.
The participants of this are normally victims of this neocolonialist system.
You're listening to the voices of New Africa.
Of New Africa.
Free the land.
We declare our right on this earth to be a man, to be a human being, to be respected as a human being, to be given the rights of a human being in this society, on this earth, in this day, which we intend to bring into existence by any means necessary.
And we are back once again on the Voices of New Africa, the show dedicated to the liberation of new African people and in support of the new African independence movement right here in America. And as always, I will be joined by some of the brightest minds in the new African community, where we will discuss, like I said, topics relevant to our collective liberation. And I am your host, Brother Prophecy, a.k.a. Yera Omati. So, in our last episode last week, last Sunday, we talked about the brother who delivered revolutionary justice in Dallas in retaliation for the murders of our brothers and sisters by the hands of the police department. We're talking about Micah Xavier Johnson. Should we acknowledge him as a hero? Should we look at him as a martyr? And it was an interesting comment made by one of our panelists. Brother Kakai said, well, this is what happened with this brother, with the police killing, with the retaliation. It's only the beginning. You're going to see more. And as soon as we left the air, I turned on my social media outlets, and what do you know? What do you see? In Baton Rouge, 6 cops shot, 3 of them killed. Another example of retaliation for the murders of our people. And this time it was done by a brother by the name of Galvin Eugene Lone, also known as Cosmo Septepenra. Now, this guy also, just like Micah Johnson, he was an ex-military. He actually was an ex-Marine, an individual who was honorably discharged from the military, and he actually had his own, web series on YouTube, which he expressed many of his views. So instead of doing the spotlight on a significant event in our history, I wanted to kind of deal with this brother briefly before we get into our topic. Because, I mean, fortunate for him, we actually have a lot of him in his own words left. And that's what I want to begin the show with. I want to start the show off with playing a clip from this brother so you can hear this brother articulate his views in his own words. So there's no need for me to speculate and anyone else to speculate on his motives or, his mindset, whether the brother was crazy or, his intelligence level. So I'm going to play a clip. This is from, I think this is his last post. This is Galvin Lone, also known as Cosmo Septepenra, the brother who was responsible for killing 3 police officers in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Peace, family. What up with y'all? I'm in Dallas right now, in the streets, on my book tour, on another book tour, giving the knowledge out to my people. And I had already decided that I was coming to Dallas before the even, police shooting already happened. So I was already decided. So I don't know. I guess it's just, the spiritual was just telling me it was the right place to come before. But before the police shooting occurred, I had already made the decision to be here. But right now I'm in these streets. And I just want to speak on the events that's going on right now and just some of the principles that I've already spoken about, and I'm going to relate them to right now what's going on. First, I want to let you guys look, you got to really look at certain things because, say, for instance, the holiday that just passed, Independence Day. Independence Day is really based on, say, George Washington and the Americans fighting against their oppressor, Britain. And we celebrate that. We tell them they're right. You get it? But when an African fights back, it's wrong. But every time a European fights back against his oppressor, he's right. But as soon as an African tries to fight back, why is that? So we got to start questioning our mindset. Are our thoughts our own thoughts? Because it doesn't even make sense, the shit we're thinking about. You feel me? You got to really question your thoughts because you're saying one person is right, but then you're saying another person is wrong for doing the same exact fucking thing. In fact, we celebrate it and make holidays about it. It doesn't make sense. Question your thoughts. Question everything you are thinking. I'm telling you this because sometimes people out here are programmed and they're not questioning anything. All right? That's why I tell you, be curious. Curiosity. Stay a child. You get what I'm saying? See, the children, I'm out in these streets, children is like, yeah, I agree with you. Because the children still got that curiosity. They didn't beat it out of them yet, you see? That's why I love the kids, and that's why I'm still a motherfucking kid. I'm a dire kid. I'm not growing up. I'm keeping my own mind, my own logic, right here. Mm-mm. You're not going to tell me that this water is wet and it's okay. And then when this water gets wet, then you say it's not okay. No. Is it going to be wet across the board? And look, let's just go with the numbers. Let's go with the history. 100% of revolutions of victims fighting their oppressors, from victims fighting their bullies, 100% have been successful through fighting back, through bloodshed. Zero have been successful just over simply protesting. It has never worked and it never will. You've got to fight back. That's the only way a bully knows to quit. He doesn't know words. He can't understand words, I promise you. He doesn't understand protest. If y'all want to keep protesting, do that. But for the serious ones, the real ones, the alpha ones, we know what it's going to take. It's only fighting back or money. That's all they care about. Revenue and blood. Revenue and blood. Revenue and blood. Nothing else. Don't even think about it.
Okay, and that was the words of Brother Galvin Long, who is responsible for the deaths of three Louisiana police officers in retaliation for the killings of our people all over the country. But that brings us to our topic for today, because if we understand, you know, what's going on, the political climate in America, and we understand the laws of development, we see an interesting dynamic developing, you know, right before our eyes. You know, it was just a matter of time before our people was going to start retaliating against the system. And understand that these killings are retaliation against the system. They're not targeting just individuals. I don't like this individual. It's an attack on the system because the system has been on an attack against us. But as we understand that it simply was just a matter of time before we began to strike back with the laws of development, an interesting contradiction, will begin to be heightened. Because, you know, you also see in response to these killings, you see the white supremacists preparing, gearing up, getting ready to strike back. You're hearing posts about, you know, we're ready for war. You know, this is crazy. It sparked a certain outrage on the other side. So the question that we want to talk about today, what we want to discuss today on this show is, should black people, should new African people in America be preparing ourselves for a race war? Because, believe it or not, white people have already been preparing for this. They have been preparing for years. They have been preparing for decades. They have probably been preparing for this moment ever since the end of the Civil War, because it's always been a major fear in this country on the parts of whites that one day their subjects, their enslaved Africans, would rise up and come against them. So should we be preparing for a race war? And I see I have some of the brightest minds already lined up to comment on this subject. I'm going to go to my sister, Ayodele. Mama Ayodele, are you there?
Yes, brother, free the land, free the land.
Free the land. I am, I will. So what do you think? What do you think? I know you've been listening. You can comment on what the brother said, and should we be preparing for a race war here as new African people?
I think that as new African people here in America, if you haven't tuned in, used all your powers of observation, all your five senses, and your ability to analyze the situation, we not only do we prepare for just what we call a race war, you should be preparing for any natural disaster. You need to have certain items in your home. You need to have the things that will sustain you for a couple of weeks to a couple of months, and it should be okay for your whole family. There should be no stress just in case there's a natural disaster. But when you want to put it on a racial level, have you not looked around? The Second Amendment says we have the right to bear arms. The Second Amendment says that we are supposed to be able to have that right as so-called citizens here in America. However, we are punished if we have weapons and they're not registered, so on and so forth. When you see a lot of groups, you can call them white supremacist groups, just regular groups that are organizing themselves, and they take their children and their wives, their mates, their girlfriends out. They camp out. They learn how to navigate the land, how to live on the land, what to do, what paths to take. We're sitting here watching television, video games, so on and so forth. When they're having those conversations with their children, we're not having our conversations with our children, our mates, what to do in case of emergencies, how to call 911, what happens in case someone gets hurt, just basic life-saving skills, just basic first aid skills. When we talk about a race war, it's always been a race war. It's always been a race war because you're talking about I could see it if Asians and indigenous people and people, even Caucasian people from some of the so-called different tribes, different countries, were a part of the chattel slavery system that was imposed upon a group of people. But you didn't see that. You saw a race, African people, enslaved, put under harsh chattel systems, and we've been battling from the beginning. So there's always, so when they talk about the Nat Turner rebellions and the Gabriel Prosers and even the ones that have not been named, yeah, we've always been battling racially against an oppressor man. Always. So yes, I definitely think that those courageous or those hard conversations, those conversations that needs to be talked about while we're sitting around watching entertainment, or you're sitting around at the dinner table, we need to have those conversations with one another. What is supposed to happen? How are you going to protect your family if an aggressor comes? And unfortunately, most of the aggressors that we see look like us, not who we should be. We should always be cognizant of those people, those individuals who decide they want to be aggressive against women, children, and against the race. But there's a clear and ever-present enemy that we need to be focusing on. How do you defend and protect yourself? Because whether you are a proponent of a conspiracy theory, whatever, whatever, there was no conspiracy theory when the so-called Jews were taken and put in what they call them concentration camps. We call our slavery. So, yes, there is. There is a need to prepare. There is a need to prepare and to be clear about what you're supposed to do, how you're supposed to be, what is your role in defending and protecting, what is your mate's, the woman's role, what are the children, how they're supposed to do. They need to be taught. When I give you a signal, when I tell you to stop, you drop down, and you get quiet. There are things that, yes, we need to be teaching ourselves and our children and our mates. Escape routes, how to get out of the house, and just basic things, even if it's fire, tornado, flooding, so on. And it's just at its extreme level when we talk about a race war, because we are under that right in our very eyes in this time, 2016. Free the land, brother.
Free the land. Free the land. Well said. There's two things, two points that I wanted to kind of elaborate on. One, you said, first of all, it's already a race war. It's always been a race war. The problem is we don't understand that. We don't understand that these people have been at war with us for hundreds of years, maybe thousands. And we are constantly being attacked on all levels. So, yes, we definitely should have been preparing, and just now things are getting heightened. And the second thing that I definitely want to elaborate on was, you know, we should be preparing for all threats, internal, external, natural, because, like you say, you never can tell. I mean, Hurricane Katrina could happen anywhere in America. You know, we don't too much have to worry about hurricanes in Memphis where we are, but earthquakes, we're on the fault line. Natural disaster could occur at any time, and are we prepared for it? So, excellent comments. So I want to get to my sister, my other sister in the struggle, Sister Saanxa. Sister Saanxa, are you there?
Free the land. Can you hear me?
I can. Free the land. I am. I will.
Yes.
So what do you think, sister?
Well, most definitely we should be preparing for a race war. As you guys so eloquently put it, we've always been in a race war since we came over here, since they walked the coast of Africa, all throughout the land of Africa. We've been in a race war since then. It's always been a race war. It may change, the face of it may change, but it's always been a race war. The whole objective is to annihilate us, to annihilate black people off the face of the planet, which, I mean, you can try, but, and they've been trying, but it's not going to happen, period. And what we need to understand is, now is the time. We're seeing all of these different events happen. And now is the time where things are about to flip and they're changing. Everything goes through cycles and their time is up. These devils' time is up and they know it. Their time is up. So, yes, we need to be prepared. We need, like Mama Ayo mentioned, we need to be prepared for anything. We should always be prepared. We should never have our fate and our destiny in the hands of somebody else. Never, ever, ever. That's not wise. Animals don't even do that. It's like we've lost our natural ability for survival. It's simple. It's a simple rule of survival. We have to be prepared. We should be stacking food, water, figuring out escape rates, routes throughout the city. We need to be doing that. We should know the land, know how to live off the land. These are simple survival things that we've lost through slavery. We've been slaved. We always depend on master to provide for us. Mm-mm. That time is up, and it's soon over, so we better get it together.
No doubt, no doubt. Excellent comments. I definitely want to hear from my brother, Kikai. Oh, I'm getting a lot of feedback. Let me see if I can deal with that feedback. I want to hear from my brother, Kakayi. Are you here, brother?
Yeah, Free the Land. My phone died, and it might give you a little feedback, but, you know, as all the queens had mentioned earlier, we are in the midst of a race war. We've been in a race war worldwide for 3,500 years, if you want to go back as far as that. But I think that we as a people need to recognize that there's no such thing as luck. And what I mean by that is that anytime somebody is paired for the opportunity when it presents itself, that can be considered luck. But in actuality, you have to be prepared when the opportunity presents itself. And so right now we're seeing that these folks are prepared. We need to be prepared. You know, the signs are there. When we did the second and third march in Ferguson, supposedly to spotlight what happened in Ferguson, you know, those militias, those white militias lined up alongside the streets with their military weapons. The police didn't do anything. So that means that these folks are working hand in hand with the police. We have to understand that we are in a war. If you can't, then you're going to be in a bad place when everything begins to trickle down into household to household. This is actually something that they're prepared for, and we need to be prepared for it. I mean, it's hard for me to sit here and listen to our sister tell the truth about things and knowing that a lot of people won't get it. It's hard for me to just fathom that our people don't understand and recognize that we've always been in a war, and we have to be prepared for that opportunity when we will have to protect and defend ourselves. It's just a part of natural law that things will evolve and develop into more complex situations, and that's what's happening now. And we as a people need to recognize that, and we need to be mindful of the fact that laws have been instituted to keep us from being armed. The way for us to survive in the conditions that will exist during that time of heightened warfare, having no control of the water, having no control of the food, having no control of the ammunition. They're having a gun show this weekend, and they got one going on right now where a number of white people are there buying arms and ammunition. And then when we come in there, the laws are set up so that we can't buy the arms. We can't sell the arms at the gun show. So we know what's happening. We see it right in front of us. And so, like the sister said, we need to have survival kits together. We need to have food and water stocked. We need to have arms and ammunition to protect and defend ourselves, our families, our community, our nation, and our race, because this has been happening for thousands of years. It's just coming to a head now in the United States because more and more people are becoming aware of the history and being conscious of what's really going on based on putting things into historical context. We see what's happening. For those brothers and sisters that just don't believe it, I feel sorry for you. But for the ones that recognize that something's going on, just got a word for it, you need to be prepared because there's not going to be any lucky people out here when the shit hits the fan.
Exactly, brother. Before we get out of here, I wanted to give everybody an opportunity to at least have a final word on the topic because we are, you know, running out of time. It seems like we just never have enough time. This is a short show. So I'm going to go back to Mama Ayo Deli. Mama Ayo, are you there? I'm on my air.
Yes, brother, free the land.
Free the land. I am my will. So what are some of your final thoughts on this? You know, briefly.
I always say that we have to be preparing ourselves on multiple levels, and that's the beauty of being an African person, that you're able to, first of all, change. When you change your mindset, you change your way of thinking. That tells you your way of what you should be eating, what you should be thinking about, what you should be focusing on. And when we do that, when we understand that this is about a people who have been under a constant attack. I am a member of that people. I'm a member of that conquered race. I know through history and through what is happening in my very eyesight as I live in these days and times, and I'm I'm an aware adult, the men and women of this country who happen to be of African descent, who are Africans, new Africans, are under attack. The system is built against us. So you begin to look and analyze and begin to step away. And sometimes you have to step away spiritually, and then you can step away mentally, and then eventually physically. You begin to do some things. You stop supporting certain things. You stop buying into certain things. Your focus is different. You begin to start what I call spending on unnecessary things that you don't see any fruition. You look up and your closet is full. You are comfortable that your family has, in case of emergency, in case the electricity goes out, all the stores are down. That happened so many years ago when there was a twister that came through. People's electricity and things were cut off. People were stuck. If you didn't have only 1 gallon of water, there was no T-roll, no toothpaste, nothing, not enough diapers for the baby, sanitary pads for the women, so on and so forth. Those are the kind of things that you need to put aside, that extra little money. And then, of course, have those conversations. Be sitting and talking really, 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 really seriously with your children, because you teach them to be disciplined, to pay attention, that when I tell you to get down and to be silent, it could be an aggressor in the house. It could be an aggressor that's coming down the street. It could be an aggressor that's in the school. And they have to learn that when you have a certain tone and you give a certain word, that they have to be quiet and they have to get into the position that you told them to get into. Those are the things that require practice. There's also coming together, going to the firing range, being comfortable with weapons. And because we have to have those courageous conversations. What do you do when, I can't go to the firing range because of whatever circumstances? Well, there's other things that we have to implement. There are survival camps that we need to be setting up for one another and teaching our children. Some of our children, I would challenge 100 people right now to go to Shelby Farms and see who can make it out. And you give them a certain a couple of pieces of equipment. And who can make it out? Who could even walk the whole of Shelby Farms in the first place? So you're talking about paying attention, and doing the work that we're supposed to do so we can survive. Because it's not just us. We're talking about our children. We're talking about the women that are bringing forth our children. So this really, when we say this, man, woman, and child in this nation, we have to be having very, very serious conversations. Truthful conversation. Free the land, brother.
Free the land, I am my will. And we are just about out of time right now. Sorry I didn't get to all of our panelists for that final word. But before we leave, there are some things that I wanted to share with us as far as the thing that we need to be doing. We have to be preparing ourselves to defend not only ourselves, our family, our community, and our nation. And when I say nation, I'm not talking about the United States of America. I'm talking about the black nation right here, because we are an oppressed, subjugated, neo-colonized nation right here in America. The problem is most of us don't know it. But we have to be able to prepare ourselves. And the first thing, we have to prepare ourselves. We need to learn personal self-defense. hand-to-hand combat. We need to be able to defend ourselves one-on-one if you don't have any weapon, if there's nothing, if you just get attacked randomly by whoever. You need to have some basic hand-to-hand combat skills so you know how to defend yourself, to understand how to use improvised weapons. As anything around you can be used as a weapon, we need to learn how you can utilize those things where you are never unarmed. You need to be buying weapons, and not only buying weapons, as people have already said, our panelists have already said, we need to be prepared in we need to learn how to use them properly. As Mama Ayo just talked about, we need to be going to gun ranges. We need to take classes on firearms. We need to take classes on tactical methods on how to utilize whatever particular firearm you have. You know, it's not just enough to buy a weapon, but you have to learn how to use it, how to be comfortable with it, and how to be effective with it. As many of us have already said, we need to store enough food and water for every member of your family to last at least 3 months. Need to be as long as possible, but a minimum of 3 months. If something happened, if martial law is instated, If the stores are shut down and looted, and there is a scarcity of resources, you know, would you be able to survive? You know, that's a tactic that generally, you know, are used by own populations, starve them out, so they have to come out of their homes to be picked off or whatever the case may be. We need to start thinking in a manner of security everywhere we go. If we go into a building, go into a restaurant, go anywhere, we need to look around and observe, point out all the exits, plot routes to get to exits, look for places that are for potential for cover. Know the difference between what cover is and concealment. If somebody starts shooting or somebody is shooting at you, cover is something that you can get behind that will protect you from the bullets. That is what cover is. Concealment is just something that will hide you. It won't protect you from a bullet. If a bullet comes at you and it hits whatever is concealing you, then it'll go through and hit you. So that's the difference between cover and concealment. These are just, you know, military tactics, terminology that we need to understand. And it's a lot more, but we should think on a security level. We should organize our community. We should create militias of our own because, like Brother Kakai said, white people have done this. They've been doing this. And they have been preparing for years and years. There's a gun show right now, and I guarantee you go up there right now, you will see 98% Caucasian people with their children, and they sell books on how to make explosive poison gases. They have stuff in there that you can create hand grenades with. Everything you want, everything you need in order to be a quote-unquote terrorist is right there. But it's open for the public because they understand that this is generally promoted for white people. And white people are the people who are primarily participating in these things. And they are preparing. And what they're preparing for is to kill your babies and mine. That's what they're preparing their children for. Trust me on this. That whole National Rifle Association with the right to bear arms, they're not talking about us. That was clear. That was clear when the brother who was licensed to carry was murdered by the police. They didn't release a statement on his behalf. They released a statement in support of the police department. Tells you right there. All of these gun advocates, these pro-gun advocates, they're doing this for the purpose of eliminating us. Other things, as well as preparing your community, creating militias that should be trained to defend our community. We have to begin to raise the political consciousness, the political awareness, the cultural consciousness of gang members. Because these individuals right here, the gang members, are actually soldiers already soldiers, except they're fighting in the wrong war. They're fighting for the wrong side. They don't even understand the war in which they should be participating in. So we have to raise the consciousness, and we have to target the leadership. Target the leadership and transform their mentality from a criminalistic mentality to a revolutionary mentality, and you allow them to influence the others. And I'm running out of time quickly, so let me wrap this up. The last thing that I will say, and this goes out to a lot of the so-called revolutionary organizations, the Huey P. Newton Gun Clubs, the New Black Panther Party, and so on and so on. Do not let your preparation for defending our community become a social media reality show. Don't post everything that you are doing. We need to stop posting pictures of us with our guns and at the gun range and our preparation and our exercising and our training and all things. All of those things are needed. All of those things are good and they're great, but they're not for social media. They're not for the public to see. You train quietly, because understand, when the crap hits the fan, everybody out there posting all your business on social media, you have already identified yourself. The authorities already know exactly where to go. That's part of the reason why social media exists. Now, social media is an excellent tool of communication, an excellent way for us to spread our word, spread our message, but understand there's another part to it. It's also an excellent way for the powers that be to keep tabs on us, to run COINTELPRO operations on us. As COINTELPRO still exists, regardless to what they say. But I'm just about out of time, brothers and sisters. But just keep these things in mind, and we have to start preparing. As always, we want to thank everybody for joining us every week, every Sunday, on the Voices of New Africa, the show dedicated for the liberation of new African people in support of the new African independence movement. My name is Brother Yayra. I will see y'all again next week. Free the land. We have been trained to hate ourselves and love white people.
We still are exploited as a people. We're constantly fighting for resources.
We've never been citizens, except on paper.
The participants of this are normally victims of this neo-colonialist system.
You're listening to the Voices of New Africa.
Of New Africa.
Free the land.
We declare our right on this earth to be a man, to be a human being, to be respected as a human being, to be given the rights of a human being in this society, on this earth, in this day, which we intend to bring into existence by any means.